All right, everybody, welcome back to another episode of the Birmingham Real Estate Investor Podcast. I'm your host, Spencer Sutton, and I am glad to be back here with you today. I'm excited because we're going to talk about a subject that has been on my mind recently. Now that I am actually back taking some calls from investors, there was a period of time where I wasn't talking with any investors on the phone, that is, but now we are, as we continue to grow and continue to expand, we're looking for to hire some people to help us sell our property management services. So I have been put back on the phone part of the day, calling and talking to investors, which has been great for me because this is what I love to do. And so a question that I get asked a lot, it's about a house. So yes, people want to know the basics, like, hey, how much will this house rent for? But really what a lot of people are calling and asking about is this a house I should buy? So we're getting people who call who are in the process of buying a house or thinking about buying a house, an investment property in Birmingham. And they really want to know, you know, is this a house I should buy? What do you think about this deal? What do you think about the rental rates? What do you think about the neighborhood, the area of town? And so I thought I would do a podcast just talking about houses that you need to avoid buying in your rental portfolio. Now, I learned this at 15, 17 years ago when I started buying my first houses, and when I bought my first rental properties was probably 15 years ago, and I bought a package of 10 houses, and this was a bad way to go because as I was explaining to an investor not too terribly long ago, a few months ago, if you buy a portfolio of houses, you are almost guaranteed there are houses in there that you don't want to own. And at that point, when I was much younger and inexperienced, I had been wholesaling a whole bunch, but I had not been owning rental properties. I thought, hey, this is a great way to buy a bunch of rental houses and just get right into it. So big problems when the seller didn't have, he had some copies of the leases, didn't have any security deposits, didn't have hardly any of the contact information of the people. He had written it down. I knew where the houses were. I had driven by the houses. I had not gone in any of them. I had not done any inspections. I just looked at them. I knew the areas. I was like, okay, I can handle this. And so I want to tell you that there were several in that portfolio that I wish I would have avoided. As a matter of fact, there was at least one or two that I owned up until recently that I wished that I wouldn't have owned, right? They became more problem houses. And even though I had really good tenants in there, there was always something going on at the house. So I want to help people avoid those types of mistakes. So I'm going to talk today about houses that you need to avoid putting in your rental portfolio here in Birmingham. And these are, it's going to be, I'm going to try to be as specific as I possibly can. I understand there are a lot of out-of-state investors that listen to this podcast because we hear from you, which is great. So these are things that you need to be thinking about writing down. And then when you're looking to buy properties, whether it be from us, like as you reach out to our brokerage services, or whether it be somebody else that you're buying houses from, you need to be asking these questions, kind of have this in your mind. So first house I would avoid in my portfolio is I would avoid adding anything that was, I'd say 100 years old, right? So we have a lot of houses, especially in the western part of town, that are 100+ years old. And so I would avoid anything that you see built in the 1920s, the early 1900s, because there's a couple of reasons. Number one, they're going to be a maintenance headache for you. There's always going to be something going on. Now, I'm sure there are people who can go into a massive rehab and turn that house into a great house, but you're going to have problems long-term. And then secondly, because there's always things going on. Also, what you got to understand is some of these houses are very large, right? So they have tall ceilings. It's almost like some of them are like antebellum homes. And in specific parts of Birmingham, we find that. And the problem with that, like I just remember being in Inslee. There's some of these in Inslee, these massive houses. They look beautiful. And people go, oh man, this is a gorgeous house. If we remodeled it, restored it, just be a gorgeous house. Yes. But your tenant, your resident, is not going to be able to afford to heat that and keep it cool in the summertime. I mean, it is going to be a huge problem when the ceilings are that high. So you got to think about those things. The plaster walls, the pipes, the plumbing, the electrical, it's all going to have issues that you're going to have to deal with. So I would just avoid anything that is really old. Okay. Next thing I would avoid, and yes, I just want to let you know, I did buy some houses that were 100 years old. So this is coming from experience. Another property I would avoid, house I would avoid in my portfolio, would be anything in a what's considered probably D or F class neighborhood. Now, this is going to require you to do some work. This is going to require you to understand the market a little bit more. You can't always take a seller's opinion. They may say, hey, this part of West End or Woodlawn is a C+ area. And you know what? It's probably not. It's probably a D or a D-. I'm not saying that everybody does that, but I'm saying the responsibility is yours to know really what class of neighborhood that is. So you need to do your homework. We have some videos that we have put out before. They're on our YouTube channel, on our website, just talking about the different classes of neighborhoods. Matthew and I have done podcasts on Eastlake. We've done podcasts on Centerpoint, like different areas with some C-class properties. And the interesting thing is, like with Eastlake, is you'll find all kinds. You'll find what I would consider now B class all the way down to D class in one little area. And so you have to understand what you're buying. So these neighborhoods are really, really important. And I think the hope is that a lot of investors have is that, hey, this neighborhood's going to turn around. This neighborhood's going to do great. This neighborhood's going to be like Avondale, which we've talked about Avondale before, what an incredible comeback it has been. And even parts of Eastlake, the south part of Eastlake, has been phenomenal. But that's not always going to be the case. Like, I remember buying an apartment complex in a part of town thinking that, hey, this place is going to turn out to be fantastic. And guess what? It never did. It never did. It never got fully revitalized, even today. So think about those. The neighborhoods are extremely important if you're looking for good quality tenants that you want to stay in the home a long time. And that's what you definitely want. Third thing is you need to be very, very aware of any kind of white elephant issues, which are going to be, and we've mentioned white elephant issues here on the show before. We're talking about busy streets. We're talking about power lines, railroad tracks, anything like that, that is permanent that you can't do anything about. So you can't ignore it, but yet you can't do anything about it. Right. So, part of my issue with the apartments was I bought them and they were right there next to, like, literally you walk across the train tracks and the houses were $120,000, $140,000, $150,000 houses. So solid rental houses. Yet on my side of the tracks, they were $15,000 and $20,000 houses. Now, that's not what I'm talking. What I mean by the railroad tracks is literally there were trains coming by all the time behind our apartments, which did not make it a great place to rent. Like, tenants didn't necessarily want to hear trains in the middle of the night. So think about those white elephant issues. You can probably even think of more white elephant issues. I wouldn't call this a white elephant issue, but part of the neighborhood discussion also is you need to know the street scene. So you need to know if there are burnouts, if there are vacant properties, if, you know, in Birmingham, sometimes houses will sit vacant for years. Sometimes a burned down house will sit like that for years. And that is not a house that is going to rent quickly because it's just an eyesore, or it's in a neighborhood with a lot of eyesores, and tenants, good tenants, don't want to rent houses from in these types of areas. Next thing I would have you consider, a property that I don't want in my portfolio, is any house with a funky design or layout. You know, when I first started buying houses back in 2003, 2004, I had never been to certain parts of Birmingham. And I'll never forget my partner and I driving down an area near Ishkuta Road. And if you're familiar with Birmingham at all, you know what I'm talking about. And we were driving, and all of a sudden, we're in this community where all of the houses have roofs that look like teepees. So there's a chimney in the middle of the house, and the roofs, a lot of them were metal roofs, that, and some of them weren't metal roofs, go up, and then the chimney was in the middle. And I was like, what in the world is this? Is the strangest thing I'd ever seen. And I just remember thinking, man, who in the world would want to buy one of these houses? Now, thankfully, I never bought a house in this area. And if you're a Birmingham investor, any kind of, if you're a veteran, then you know where I'm talking about. And, you know, I haven't been over there in quite some time, so I don't know what the deal is with those houses. And I never really got an answer as to why those houses were so strange and why they were that way. But there were several blocks of the same type of house that I would never, ever want to own, because really you are looking for a resident, a tenant that is okay with just a weird layout, right? So you don't want houses with weird layouts. So think about like walking into a house and, you know, just the layout is very, very strange. This is why it's important for you to understand the layouts and understand like the type of house you're going to buy. You don't just want to see pictures. I've got a friend who rehabs houses, and he sells them to investors. And I'll tell you, he does some beautiful work. And one of the things that he will do is he will sometimes change the layout of the house. Now, not every investor can do that. Like you can't, it's very expensive to start, you know, reconfiguring a house. But he's done it in some of these areas, and they look fantastic. But I don't recommend that, especially if you're an out-of-state investor. Speaking of like odd designs or funky layouts, another thing you want to avoid is I bought a house that didn't have a driveway. And really, I was buying it to flip it, to wholesale it, and I couldn't wholesale it. So I had to stick it in my rental portfolio. And it's a huge mistake, because if you were a tenant, you had to park near the apartments, which was like two houses down. There were some apartments, so you would park there and walk to your house. And this house was in Inslee, and on top of that, another huge mistake I made, which is another type of house I don't want to have in any of my portfolios, is it's a two bedroom house. So this house not only didn't have a driveway, it was a two bedroom. And so the same friend that rehabs houses kind of in this area, each time he drives by that property, and I don't say every time because who knows how many times he drives by it, but several times a year, he will send me a picture of that house and he'll say, remember this house you bought? Like he's just rubbing it in because it was such a bad buy. So think about driveways. Think about, I would avoid steep driveways. Not that we have crazy winter weather here, but you know, when it does ice, when it does snow, it gets ugly. And if you have a steep driveway, it's just not going to rent quickly. So avoid the two bedroom houses, avoid the odd designs. And then something else I would say is when you're buying in these lower to moderate income areas, anywhere in the, you know, I would even say B class all the way down, B and C class, I would avoid big lots. Now we get owners all the time that call us and say, hey, you know, I think my house should rent for this because it's got this massive lot and it's on a corner lot. And honestly, that is just more yard for somebody to cut. And you know what? People don't want to do it. People do not want to manage a large yard. We have taken on, and property management, we've taken on some large ones, and they tend to always be a headache. Like the tenants get in there thinking, oh, I want a lot of land. And then they don't want to take care of it. or, you know, maybe they don't have time to do it, but it becomes an eyesore, and you tend not to keep those residents, those tenants, a long time. And you're looking for a specific person. So you really, you know, narrow down who you can rent to. So these are some of the things that I would also like houses to avoid. Something else I just thought about, a house that Matthew bought from me, actually, that I sold him, the first house I ever sold him, had a lot of trees, like huge pine trees all around it. And that's something that he didn't think about, or else he wouldn't have bought the house from me. Like, it was became a massive project to cut down some of these trees so that they wouldn't be a hazard to the property. Now, they had been there a long time, but I do know they were probably some at-risk trees in the area. So avoid those, look around. And these were pine trees. So you just have to know what you're getting into. If you have a house that has a lot of trees around it, you're more than likely going to have some type of roof damage. I've had that happen a couple of years ago to a house I had. Huge limb fell on the property. And so that was not a fun issue to deal with, I guess I would say. So these are the houses that you don't want to buy. So what are the houses you do want to buy? Really, it's very, very, very simple. I would say you want to stick with as cookie cutter of a house as you can get. Like, cookie cutter. Simple, simple layout. And I would even say, if you're looking in Birmingham, you are going to find some great tenants. If you're able to buy a 3-bedroom, 2-bath, a 3-bedroom, 1.5-bath, you know, these because a lot of these are going to be newer homes, are going to be built in the late 50s, 60s, 70s. So look for those houses, 3-2s. They're going to be more expensive, but the people willing to rent those, you're going to have a lot more people interested in renting those. If they're bigger like that, they can typically accommodate. If you rent to a family, they can typically accommodate a growing family, so they don't have to move. That's one of the problems with a 2-bedroom house is they are very short-term rentals, meaning that the person doesn't stay there long. If it's a family, if it's a husband and wife or whatever, and they have a child or then they have 2 children, it becomes very, very, very crowded and people want to move. So I would say, you know, look for cookie cutter houses, 3-2, 3-1.5. They're going to be newer, like I mentioned, which means there's going to be less maintenance for you to deal with. So that's kind of one of my suggestions. Now, you can find these in a lot of places in Birmingham. You just have to know the areas. Some of you may want to look in houses that were built in the 80s and 90s. So there's areas of Birmingham that are a little bit further out from the city that you can buy these houses in, places like Helena and Pelham and Calera. You can focus on some of those areas. There's houses in Moody, in Leeds, that make fantastic rental properties. But just remember, the closer you get into the city, Birmingham, the older the homes, because obviously as they were growing, as the city was growing, we were building houses the further we got out. So I hope that's helped you think through some of the issues. If you have any, questions, again, you know, we manage a lot of houses, over 800 properties here in Birmingham alone, over 5,000 around the country. We have investors who buy houses in Birmingham. We have investors who buy houses here in Birmingham, in Columbus, in Atlanta, in Chattanooga, Little Rock, like Memphis, all these different cities that we're in. So if you ever want to talk about property management, or if you ever want to talk about us helping you find properties, we have a brokerage services in several of our markets, and I can point you to the right person. So all you have to do is shoot me an email at ssutton@evernest.co. That's ssutton@evernest.co. Or you can just go and fill out the form online that we have. It's evernest.co/pocket-listings. And we would love to help you. But anyway, I hope this information is helpful for you as you are like contemplating what houses. I know the temptation really is to buy an old, old house that you can get as cheap as possible, and with the dream of collecting all this rent. But you just have to know, it just doesn't always work out that way. You want to be smart. You want to be careful. You want to do your homework like so many really great investors do. And so we want to be here and help you make those good decisions for the long term. All right, everybody. We will be back with you next week with another episode of the Birmingham Real Estate Investor Podcast. Talk to you all soon.